to Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
All right, here we go. Welcome back, podcast world. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 884 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know, I've got another fun show lined up for us. In today's podcast, I'm going to give away free seeds. Hang out. We'll talk more about the free seeds later on in the show. Before I get too far, let me make a quick disclaimer. If I look distracted and ready to defend myself, it is because I am. It is moth season here in Southern Colorado. And as soon as I turned on those studio lights, a moth started buzzing around. I am trying to pay attention so I don't get dive bombed by a moth. Also, make sure he doesn't end up in my beverage. So if I look like I'm distracted, I am, and that is why. All right, now let's focus on the podcast as much as we can. Let me remind you about the sale at iredirect.com. That's right, the sale at iredirect.com will end this weekend. The sale should end at the end of the month, but I'm going to continue it through Sunday. So make sure you grab your packs at iredirect.com while sale pricing is valid. Also, all seed orders over $100 will get free shipping at iredirect.com. Also, don't forget about our friends at acinfinity.com. Make sure you check acinfinity.com and use coupon code IREARMY to save yourself 10%. And the last piece of advertising, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the Dude Grows Cup is quickly approaching. If you have not already gotten your tickets, your hotel, and possibly your plane tickets, ladies and gentlemen, book your accommodations for the Dude Grows Cup. I will be at the VIP party Friday night. I will be at the flower party Saturday, or the event Saturday, and I will be at the hash event on Sunday. Come say hi. Come hang out at the Dude Grows Cup. If you see me at the Dude Grows Cup, it's easy to find me. I've got a big booth. I'm a tall guy. I got long dreadlocks. If you see me there, come say hello. I don't want to get an email from you Monday saying, hey, bro, I saw you at the cup and you looked busy, didn't want to bother you. I'm never too busy to say hello to everybody at the cup. Come by. If there's a group in front of my booth and it looks like I'm chatting and it looks like we got something going on, come be a part of that. Don't be shy. Jump right on in. Come say hello at the Dude Grows Cup. I've said Dude Grows Cup so many times. That is June. That is coming up. Let me make sure I give you the correct date. I should have written that one down. I just have Dude Grows Cup written down. I'm going to give you the full description here. June 6th, Friday, June 6th, Saturday, June 7th, and Sunday, June 8th, the Dude Grows Cup. Friday night is the VIP party. Saturday night is the day that is focused on flowers. And Saturday is the day focused on concentrates. For full info, all of the details, make sure you check dgccup.com. All right, I feel like I've covered all of the business. Now let's jump into your favorite part of the podcast. That is the question and answer portion of the show. This, of course, is where we give away free seeds. That's right, I have a website. My website is iregenetics.com. At the top of that website, there's a little row of tabs. One of those tabs does say Grow Help or Grow Questions. If you click on that tab, guess what? You get to send me a grow question. If I read your question here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for free seeds at iredirect.com. The first question on today's podcast came from our new friend who wants to be called Zach. Zach, thank you for the great question. I've got your email address, so make sure you check your inbox for a coupon code for free seeds at iredirect.com. Also, check your spam because sometimes your email server thinks that I am spammy. All right, the question goes like this. It says, yo, what's up, dude? What's up, bro? I'm hanging out, trying to get into the podcast vibe here. We got some good energy going. Thank you for the question. It says, I got some clones I've had for a while as mothers. So you've got some plants, you grew them out, they're mothers, you received them as a clone. It said, no one can tell me whether they came from regular seeds or feminized seeds. That makes good sense. Since you've got the clone, you don't know if the seed was reg or fem. We just know that it was a good, solid, productive female that you like. So that's good info there. It says, so just assuming these mothers I have came from feminized seeds from a female plant with no male plant involved, can I breed it with a male to make a cross between them? Thanks so much. Big love from Ohio, from our friend who also wants to be called 420 Roots is how they signed it. Shout out to my buddy 420 Roots. So the thing is, if you can't tell if that plant came from a regular or feminized seed, nobody else can and nothing else can. There's no reason not to breed with that plant. So You'll never be able to tell if that plant came from a feminized or regular seed when you smoke a flower, when you grow out a plant that is a female. You'll never be able to tell because there is no real difference. The only difference was in the pollen. That's the only spot where there was a difference. So the only difference in a regular and a feminized plant once it grows is the pollen was feminized. Once that pollen reaches the female plant that it pollinates, you'll never notice a difference. People like to say that feminized seeds perform with less vigor, that they are less potent, that they are more problematic. That is completely untrue if those are made correctly and properly. If the selections are done beforehand properly, there is no problem with feminized seeds. There is no difference. Mr. Soul taught me this analogy. Imagine, and this is not how it works, but this is a way to put it into your brain. Just imagine if we had a male plant, and a male plant is going to dump pollen. Half of that pollen will be male, and half of it will be female. That's just kind of scientifically, biologically how stuff works. So this plant is going to dump pollen. Now imagine if I had a filter that I could put up, and I could suck out all of the male pollen so it doesn't make it to the other side of the room. All that male pollen gets sucked out. Only female pollen makes it to my plants, and then we make female seeds. That is not what is happening, but that is a way to think about female pollen and feminized pollen. I'm not doing anything to the plant that's receiving the pollen. So that tells me that and I'm feminizing the plant that is giving the pollen. So that tells us for sure the pollen is indicating the sex. So the only thing that has been manipulated here is that pollen. Everything else, everything that's in the pollen went over there except for male chromosomes. So you got female pollen over there. I essentially saw the males and I picked out the male pollen before it got over there. So there's no difference in the offspring once they grow. Once it's pollinated, once it develops, in my opinion, there's no major difference. You might be able to, if you go deeper in chemistry and science than I am able to go, you may be able to identify it. But by growing the plants, there's no visible, discernible difference, except it's always a female. So you said no one can tell me whether they came from reg seeds or not. Absolutely. And those plants don't remember. They don't care when you breed to it. It is not going to make a difference. So you're saying, assuming these mothers I have came from fem seeds, can I breed with it to a male to make a cross? Yes, absolutely. I do that. I breed regular males to females that came from feminized seed. I reverse females that came from fem seed and put that on other stuff that came from fem seed. I do it all kinds of directions, every way you could think of, and you will not find any problems. The next question you're going to ask about this that most people follow up with, is this going to affect my male to female ratio in the offspring? No, it will not. Depending on, are you going to make fem seeds? Are you going to make regular seeds? That is what's going to make a difference in the male to female ratio in your offspring. If you make regular seeds, they should be approximately 50-50 male, 50-50 female. If you do the fems, they should be 99.99, a couple more nines. They should be 99.99999% female if you do that correctly. Let me make sure I answered everything. I think I got you very well. How do I tell if they came from regs or fems? You'll never know. Can you breed to them? Yes, do that. The Lemon Jeffrey, I breed to the Lemon Jeffrey, and that is a feminized seed. I've got the Lemon Jeffrey number one, that super selected cut that I've got. I've bred that to I've bred it to a male. I bred it to a blueberry, and that made amazing seeds, and I'm sure that progeny is awesome. And then I bred it to the reversed blueberry cookies. I shouldn't have said that out loud. I don't think I told anybody about that, but so I've bred that Lemon Jeffrey to a lot of stuff. I made Grateful Dog, which is a feminized cross, and I made Lemon Jeffrey, and I have crossed those. Those are two fems that have been crossed. So don't be scared. Have fun. Get in there and do your thing. My buddy 420 Roots, make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for free seeds from iredirect.com. All right, let's keep this momentum going. Also, since we're keeping the show going, make sure you click like and click subscribe. That's right, click and like is free. And when you click subscribe, every time I put out a new episode, you will get a notification. This next question also came from that Grow Help tab. This one came from somebody who wants to be called JD. JD, thank you for the great question. I wrote several notes on this so I could tell this is going to be a fun one. This one says, it's titled Cannabis Historian. That's the first time somebody has titled a question, but I like it. It goes on, it says, Rasta Jeff, I hope this message finds you in good health and as peaceful as can be. Bro, I feel like I'm quite healthy. And as for peace, I'm wearing a Natalie Rise shirt. I got to see a great Natalie Rise show, two Natalie Rise shows over the weekend. So I am in good spirits. What else is peaceful as I could be? I think I'm pretty peaceful, bro. Feeling Irie over here. So thank you for the blessings. I hope everything is Irie in your neck of the woods. This question has multiple parts. It says, firstly, thank you for everything you do for the cannabis world. Hey, thank you for noticing. I appreciate it. And I just got to do it. That's all there is to it. If I didn't do it, I would explode. It says, your kindness and knowledge is greatly appreciated, and the consistency you deliver is second to none. Your podcast and Instagram lives always put a smile on my face. Thank you. And maybe everybody doesn't know that I do an Instagram live show every Monday. That's right, Monday on Instagram at 7, it could be 7:10, 7:20-ish Mountain Time. That's coming from my Mountain Time Zone. I jump on my my Instagram account, Irie_genetics, and I go live for usually about 45 minutes to an hour and 10 minutes, and I just go live and talk shit and smoke dabs and answer grow questions. So come hang out on the live. It's a little bit like this, but way less formal. I smoke a lot, and I get a little loopy, and it's a good time. Anyway, let's stay focused. Yeah, right. Where is it? Let's see. On podcast 883, you mentioned the term cannabis historian. Yes, I've said that I do kind of consider myself a cannabis historian. I was here for a lot of it. I'm articulate. I can read. I'm inquisitive. There's a lot of things that give me the ability and the qualifications to kind of be sort of a little bit of a historian here, I think, maybe in my own opinion. Tell me what you think. Am I full of shit or is that accurate? Leave it in the comment section. So it goes on. It says, I think this term is absolutely spot on. Well, this person agrees. It shows through with all the incredible advice you give to us all for free nonetheless. Thank you for noticing that the show is free. I do appreciate that. There is more. It says, now my question, and this is the fun part, and thank you for the compliments and for noticing that I'm doing this for free and that I am filling the role of historian. But now it says, my question is somewhat split up okay, this was typed weird, but is there a particular time during your calling or career where you saw the landscape change significantly multiple times, and I tried to document them, the landscape changed significantly regarding breeding and attitudes toward the plant, or was it gradual? Also, did this change your way of thinking and adapting to anything that happened if you indeed needed to? This is like a college-level questionnaire. I feel like somebody was writing a question for school. This is a good question. I like it. I'm not complaining. I'm saying this is a very deep and very thought-out question. Then it says, I love the podcast and the lives, and due to being in the UK, it's always late when you're on, but I make sure to stay up and throw a few YMH references your way. Cheers, Jeans. Thank you for that. So our friend is in the UK, and they stay up late to watch my Instagram live shows. That's super cool. And then they threw out a YMH reference, which is one of my other favorite podcasts. Watch that one later after this, not now. Then they wrap it up with keep feathering it, brother, and keep them high and tight. I know exactly what that means. Nobody else knows what that means. You got to be in the cool guy club to know what that means. Much love from the UK. Okay, so basically the question is there a particular time during my career when I saw the landscape change significantly regarding breeding and attitude toward the plant? So I'm going to talk about just growing and the cannabis in general, and then we'll work our way to the breeding part. And then how did this change your way to anything that happened? Okay, so I think you guys understand what... So allegedly, possibly, maybe, I might have come from like a black market background. I might have known some people who had extra stuff, and I knew other people that needed that extra stuff. So a lot of times I may have been the person facilitating those needs for several years from... late high school to until the legalization of cannabis kicked in, I was that guy. If you needed something for your head or something to pay the rent or something to, I could help you out back in the day. Not anymore, that game is over now, but back in the day, that was me. So I was flipping a lot of things. The first time I noticed a big change in the market, a big change in things, was I was messing with the brick weed. Where I live, where I'm from, the brick was everywhere. I was able to get, allegedly, bricks would come from New Mexico to a friend of mine, and then I would distribute them to a lot of places, allegedly, possibly. That was a fictional character. The brick was living. Everybody was happy with the brick weed. Everybody, we called it swag. Well, it became swag weed. It was fucking weed at the time before the dank weed came, but that was the weed. Then suddenly I started going to Phish concerts and I started traveling around a little bit and I found Kind Bud. And then the Kind Bud came to my town. Like other people started bringing it to town and it started popping up. And once the Kind Bud got popular, then things really shifted. It went from brickweed was about 400, maybe 600 a pound. If it got scarce, it'd go up to 7 or 8, but I never had to do that. I was the one charging that for it. So brickweed, I could get it for 3, sell it for 8, depending on where I was, what I was doing. Then the Kind Bud came, and that shit was $3.50 an ounce, $50 an eighth, $3,200 a pound. Everybody was like, what the fuck? It changed the weed game, because then you had to have, the older heads wanted the swag weed and the brick weed. They wanted that shit because the new Kind Bud was way too expensive. They didn't see the value in getting an eighth for 50 or an ounce for 50 of the other. They're like, what's, and then once in a while, I knew the way to get them was to smoke the good weed with them. And they'd be like, holy shit, I need to buy an eighth of that. And then you'd get them. But that's what changed the landscape. So you'd have to carry the swag weed for the old heads and the poor people. I said poor people. You'd have to carry the swag weed for the older heads and the lower income people. I don't know. The fucking broke folks wanted the swag weed. They still fucking do. And also I had to have the Kind Bud for the crew that wanted the Kind Bud. So I had to have them both. So I was buying pounds of this and pounds of this and rolling with eighths of both of them. That's when the first big shift happened. Then I noticed that the swag weed, the regular weed, the brick weed kind of fizzled out. It was all Kind Bud at one point. So I saw the rise of the Kind Bud and I saw the swag weed kind of fizzle out. And when the Kind Bud came around, it told me, hey, you can grow this. That's what I realized. I was like, somebody local is growing this shit. So I started dabbling and growing here and there and fucking around and trying like a high school kid in a basement trying shit. And I got better and better as I did it and as I tried it. But that's kind of what got me going, was seeing that the Kind Bud was just being grown down the street. I'd go to my buddy's house and be like, hey, do you know where to get more of that weed? And he would act like he was going to his friend's house when really he went to the fucking basement and got some out of his jar that he grew, dried, and cured. He was growing it, selling it to me. He just didn't want to tell me that shit. I realized, oh, it's happening here. I could grow this. And so that's kind of, I started dabbling in that and learning to do that. Then medical marijuana happened. Here in Colorado, we got medical marijuana, and that changed the game of everything. Because now all the street hustlers, all the black market guys, we had to really shake and move. We had to shuck and jive to figure shit out, because you could just go to the store. If you called me and I was out hustling, I was like, I got 4 stops before you. People would go, fuck it, I'll just drive down to the weed store. And so there were weed stores. There wasn't one in my town, but there were all around us and near us. And there was one in a town just a little bit, about 15, 20 minutes out west of us. They had a dispensary, and Colorado Springs had dispensaries. So that was one of the biggest shift was when medical marijuana came. But I took advantage of that. I got involved with some people and we started a dispensary. And that's when I really started growing a bunch of cannabis. I really started growing then. So then I had to shift from just being a street level guy, kind of knowing people on the street and just kind of meeting people in parking lots and doing fucking deals with my friends, to I had to produce enough product to run a store. That's when things got different for me. I had to grow. So I would show up early for work and grow the product, work all day selling the product as the only bud tender, then wrap up my day by going back upstairs to the grow and growing weed more and finishing what I didn't get done before work. So that's when things really shifted. I had to produce a better product. I had to have more strains. That's when strains were starting to matter. People wanted Sour Diesel, White Widow, Northern Lights. They wanted all those classics that they had heard of. So things really got different then when medical marijuana came in. I had to shift gears. My business acumen had to change. Is that the word? That just came out fucking organically. The way I did business had to change. And then that dispensary got closed and things definitely changed again for me, because then I didn't have the dispensary backing. Then I was just producing it all myself and backpacking it again back in town with all of the dispensary clients I had established. That was weird. So then the next big shift that I noticed was recreational legalization in Colorado. We went from medical marijuana to recreational. At that point, everybody was growing. Everybody wanted weed. People were coming from out of state. People were coming from all over the country to buy weed in Colorado. And I was able to move cannabis everywhere. I had friends that were taking it places. It was that shit was going everywhere. So then I had to step up my production. and learn how to efficiently, between the old dispensary grow and then shifting back to a home grow, I'd really learned how to be more efficient and proficient in the grow. I could maximize my space and time. I could decide what strains to run together more efficiently. I was learning a lot. So recreational cannabis, that kind of put a big dent in all of my black market sales, because now there were stores everywhere, but also people were coming from all over to get it. So I was finding other outlets to move things. I got to be careful with what I'm saying here, but the recreational definitely changed things. Then at that point, everybody became a grower. And once it was recreationally legal to grow, everybody that was already a good grower had now wanted to be a breeder. That was like the next step. So I was breeding at this. I think I was dabbling in breeding at this point. I just heard loud gunshots. If you saw my facial expression change, that was shebang and that was close. I'm not even going to edit that because that's what I got to keep doing. So everybody started becoming breeders, and I had been breeding a little bit now. So I was kind of ahead of the game. I was kind of setting a mark for myself. Once I got established as a breeder, then I had to learn to maximize my breeding, not just maximizing commercial growing, but maximizing the breeding. I had to get smarter at the breeding, get smarter at the business, make more production. And since I'm doing multiple strains, I had to have multiple places to do that, because I don't want to have the blueberry cookies in, here, and the golden goat here, and the fucking reversed fucking something here, and the Jack the Ripper male here, and Solomon here, and pollen contaminate. I did not want that. So I had different houses or facilities for different breeding projects, which was a huge jump for me, was having a lot of different places. Then I went from selling seeds. I went from selling seeds on other vendors' websites. I went to an event and realized that I didn't need a lot of other vendor help, that I could do it myself. So I was selling on other breeder or other vendor websites. And then I was going to events and selling at other vendors' booths. So another vendor would buy a booth and invite several breeders, and we would all sell under that one booth. And then eventually I realized I didn't need that. So I started getting my own booth at events and selling my own seeds. That was a huge turning point, because now I'm making the product, I'm meeting the people at the events, I'm selling it to vendors online. So I'm getting face-to-face interaction, I'm getting online interaction, I'm getting websites. That was a huge change. I had to up my production right after that, because once I met a bunch of people at Endo Expo, that really changed things. My following went up, my sales went up, and then I had to learn how to do business with people face to face. I know how to talk to the bros, the stoners, the dreadlocks, the weirdos. People were laughing because every dreadlock person at the Endo Expo that walked by the booth stopped and talked to me, and I sold them a pack of seeds. I know how to talk to you guys. The business guys in the suits intimidated me, and I didn't give a shit to talk to them, but they're the guys that are going to buy 100 fucking packs right now to lace up their entire grow. So I had to learn how to talk to those guys. And then I also noticed that I was missing a large market. I was not marketing to women or ladies or females in any way, shape, or form. I was really focused on the dudes and the bros. It wasn't anything personal. That's who I connect with, the dudes and the bros, right? It's bros see bros and we connect. You don't think I should sell this lady seeds, but a friend of mine, a very lovely lady, you know who you are, shout out, thank you for the help. She was like, hey, you're missing a large audience. And she kind of helped me get some of the females into the audience as well. So that helped. The ladies are now buying seeds and growing, and I learned how to cater to them. So that was a huge shift. Learning how to talk to the suits and different audiences was a huge thing. And going to public events and going and doing the bigger events on my own and not with a booth that bought it for me. I was actually registering and paying for the booth and showing up and bringing employees. I was bringing Clint and Mike to come help me, and sometimes other people. So that was a huge jump. Bringing other people was a huge shift. And then eventually I realized that I do need them, but I don't have to solely rely on online vendors. I created my own website and started doing the online vending myself. And that completely changed the business landscape, because now I run the website. I handle the customer service. I see the orders. I package the seeds. I ship the orders. It's all happening. I'm involved in all of it. And I see I see everything. I see all of it. I'm not sending bulk orders and then they're shipping it and handling customer service. I am packaging it, I'm sending it, and then I'm getting the customer service, either the complaints or the praise, or the whichever comes in the middle, the questions, I'm getting all of that. So that's changed it's changed me a lot as a business person, as a person. I've also grown. I was in my 30s or late 20s when I started breeding and growing, and I was in my teens when I started selling this plant. So I've grown as a business person and as a person countless, what is it called, exponentially. I've changed a lot. But one thing that I've definitely seen, here's where we're going now. So then I got the website going. I can go to events and I can sell reliably. The website runs smoothly. That means that I've got to keep new product exciting and fresh. And I've also got to keep old product in stock and available. I've got to keep the stuff that sells available, and I've got to keep new stuff coming, and I've got to keep doing testing so that people are excited about new stuff and so that I can find the new shit. So it's pushed me to just try to be more efficient, more productive, and just do better. It inspires me. Knowing that you guys want my seeds and there's shit that makes you excited about what I'm making, I'm not doing it for you, but the fact that you enjoy it makes me enjoy it even more. It's like writing a song and you go, man, I woke up and I heard this lick in my head. And you write it and you put it out on a record and it's a fucking hit and it sells a million. The fact that I enjoyed it and I was proud of it, it was awesome. And then when you guys enjoy it as well, that's double fucking awesome. So that is super cool. I'm rambling. I said I was going to get to one last part. Now the shift is we have shifted to clones. Clones are super popular. People want to buy clones of my cuts. People want to buy selections. They don't want to run seeds. A lot of people don't have time and space and energy and just the fucking desire to grow a pack of seeds. With a pack of seeds, you're going to get phenotypical variation. I like that. As a grower, that's like opening up a pack of Pokemon cards and finding which cards I got. I like that variation. I like seeing if I get the one that does this or the one that does that. I like experimenting. But some people, they want to know that they're getting that one, that clone that is going to be that clone every time. So I'm noticing that I am selling a lot of clones. Anytime I put clones on the website, they sell quite quickly. Also, folks coming to the DGC Cup, be ready because I've got 2 trays of clones coming with me. So be prepared. What? But I see that clones is a big part of the new market. And also, I see regular, I should have touched on this, I didn't pay attention. I see regular and feminized seeds fighting for dominance in the market. It comes and goes, and it comes and goes, and it ebbs and flows in waves. For a long time, nobody wanted anything to do with feminized seeds. They thought fems were problems. They all had their herms, or they're not as good, or they're all that stuff, that miseducation happened. And then the fems were not popular. And then as soon as medical marijuana hit and people were able to grow at home, fems were on top. And then as the markets kind of leveled out, fems went down and regs got popular. And then I couldn't sell any fucking regular seeds to sell my life. I've got boxes of regs. They sit there. The fems were selling. Now it's kind of 50-50, but I'm noticing that it's 50% seed sales divided 50% in fems and regs, and then 50% clone sales are catching up. So half of my business lately has been clone sales because you guys are hungry for the clones, which I understand. I have grown out hundreds of Lemon Jeffrey seeds over time just for fun, just for why not, because I've got them, and I love growing that plant and that strain. So I have found one that I call Lemon Jeffrey number one. It's the fucking keeper. It is a champion. Why wouldn't you want that one that I've got? I found it out of hundreds of packs. I could have grown somewhere between 200 and 500 seeds to find this one. I wasn't really looking for it. I just happened to find it. So why wouldn't you want that awesome one that I like? Why wouldn't you want the one that the guy that bred the pack, that bred the plant, the one that I found, why wouldn't you want that? So I found that those are highly sought after and highly desirable, the cuts from my selections. So that's one thing that I could say is definitely shifting into. The clone game is definitely coming up. Be careful who and where you're buying clones from, guys. I've been waiting on a clone order since April 6th. I'll keep you updated. If they don't send it soon, I'll tell you who it was. But I think that answers that question. That one got me fucking talking for a long time. That's a really good question. You only get one pack of seeds. But that was a really good question. I don't even know if I can send you seeds. Bro, I can't send you seeds because you're in the UK. We'll figure something out. Maybe we'll get you a t-shirt or something. Also, boys and girls, there's new merch for the DGC Cup. That's right. There's new merch at the DGC Cup. I've got 3 designs of t-shirts. I'm looking at the boxes. I will have hats, grinders, rolling trays, and some new sticker designs with me at the DGC Cup. So stop by the booth. My dude, JD, I think I answered your question quite well. I've been going for quite a while. Yeah, this was a fun one, my dude. Make sure you check your inbox for the, like I said, I'm going to have to send you some other shit. That was all autopilot right there. Thank you for the great question. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that question was quite long, so I think that is going to be all I'm going to answer for this episode. Thank you for watching and listening. Once again, make sure you click like and subscribe. Let me find my closing notes here. I know that there is more. Oh, yeah. Also, if I did not read your question on this episode, please do not feel discouraged. I've got a lot of questions in front of me. I actually had three or four more planned out for this show, but I got so rambly that they're going to go on the next podcast. If I didn't read your question, yours could be right on top of the pile. You could be Sean, and I might read your question on the next episode. Stay tuned, so don't get discouraged. If you haven't sent me that grow question, go ahead and send it to the Grow Help tab at iregenetics.com. Also, if you have any questions, corrections, comments, or concerns, the easiest way to do that is to email me at growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. If I read those questions on the air, I will not give you free seeds because you didn't use the Grow Help tab. But if you've got some customer service question or a suggestion, or if you just fucking hate the podcast and want to tell me, growfromyourheart@hotmail.com is the way to do it. I think that is all I've got for this episode. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to my buddy Ganja Grower. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mama a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece and then I go find the bag. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, hug him up, and relax.
Hold up. Roots and wisdom start to show. From the knowledge seeds we grow. Tune in now to hear the vibe. Rasta Jeff in our conscious tribe. He spreads the truth in every word. Every voice must now be heard. Healing light through cannabis. Grow from your heart, pure bliss. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your heart every day. In the light we stand real strong. Join the movement, sing the song. Natural medicine and love flows within us like a dove. Educate and elevate. Join the journey, don't be late. Open minds to see the truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your hearts every day. In the light we stand real strong. Join the movement, sing the song. Soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your hearts every day. In the light, we stand real strong.